The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We appreciate you taking us in whichever way. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Still to come this hour, we will talk with Mike Somich, all of his bets across the sports betting landscape. We got a lot to clean up here. August most wins update. Let's get to that for the month of August. It took us took five tries to really stink, Kelly, but I have stunk finally in month number five. Again, we have a winner under our belts with the Astros in June. So can't say this has not been a winning exercise. It has. We should have hit that 65-1 in March, April, of course, with the Guardians. We have the Mets. I have the Mets this month. Man, are the Mets letting us down on two fronts. One, August wins. And then two, trying to knock the Braves out of the playoffs. The Braves are like, here, take the newspaper. And they won't take it.
I mean, the most surprising part about this is, the Mets usually never let anybody down.
That's exactly right. Get Parles on the phone. See if that's ever happened. It is a logjam, though, now at the top, and I hope you have a bet that is involved in this because the Padres and Diamondbacks had won 24 of 30, and then they just lost three in a row. So the pack, the Padres and Diamondbacks have come back to the pack here. So we have five teams with 11 wins. Padres and Astros, both 11-4. Brewers out of nowhere, and the Diamondbacks both 11-5. Twinkies 11-6. Then you have the Dodgers at 10-6, and then four teams with nine wins. The Royals and Cubbies are both 9-6, and the Tigers and Giants 9-7.
We'll give a shout out to Jared Smith when he was filling in for you when we did the August most wins. He grabbed a ticket on the Mets with you, and then one on the Padres.
Good for him.
So he's looking pretty good right now. Although, man, you're sitting there 11-4, and you look at how many teams are right there with you. It's like, there was a little bit more separation.
Padres and Astros not only both at the top at 11-4, but they both have the most games left, 13 games left. So, and again, for tiebreaker purposes, that could work against you too. So it's not necessarily, but at least you're controlling your destiny in two different ways. John Legesa joins us now. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, always a pleasure to have John with us. And John, I'm looking at your bio here, and John, and I see an addition. By the way, you can follow John on Twitter, at John Legesa. Fantasy life. Not only working at The Athletic these days, what's fantasy life?
Look at me, Ma, I made it. Matthew Berry picked me up to kind of showcase his daily betting newsletter. It's free, and if it's free, it's for me. You know, you go right onto fantasylife.com, right under the betting tab. Again, on it for free. I already have some NFL futures going up, MLB plays going up every day. And then you get jokes and sometimes bad WWF gifs.
Oh.
You know, a little pat on the back. Little Barry Horowitz right there, you know.
Man's got jokes.
If you get that, yeah.
John, always great to see you, and congratulations on that, by the way.
Thanks so much, man. Keep me on my meeting.
Let's start because your audio is slightly janky. Let's get to your baseball picks. What did you got today?
Oh, man, I hate hearing the audio is off because I'm always highly invested. All right, so today I have it's a walk prop. It actually has juice attached to it. So I don't know, maybe I'm getting older or maybe I'm getting more gullible, but sometimes you just have to be a wonk to the edge. So give me Brian Wu. He's going for the Mariners tonight. And if you're unfamiliar, he is just a control freak. And if you're into strike throwing, like, you know, this is the guy for you. So we want to go under the walk prop all season long. It's been under, you know, one walk, under a half walk at plus money. I'm not sure why today it got hung at minus 150 to go under two. It's only happened once all year. And I bet you if you go look at the box, it's probably a bad call. There's a certain point where you just trust the pitcher. He's leading the league in ball percentage, which again is just the inverse of strike percentage. A 27.5% ball rate at 74 innings is incredible. He has a 2.5% walk rate. He's also leading the league among starters in that as well. Just an absolute control freak. I think the answer, if I'm going to answer my own question, for that pricing might be the Dodgers offense. But right now, Dodgers offense, just the jersey. Listen, getting Betts back is great, but then they lose Freeman with the finger all season long. If anything, Dodgers offense, not just disappointing. They've really kind of sold out, and you see that reflected in the disciplinary stats. So if we're looking to walk, Dodgers' last 400 plate appearances, bottom three in walk rate against righties, 5.5%. I'm just not expecting it. The Dodgers have been aggressive in the zone. We've kind of seen that all year. I'm expecting that to continue. Dodgers also kind of high IQ in their approach, and they're not going to let a guy like Wu get up 0-2 on everybody. If they see something, they're going to go for it. Again, you see that reflected in the contact rate. So give me Brian Wu under 1.5 walks minus 150. Again, that's 60% implied probability. I've got it. It's already happened 90% of the time. So I think we have a few points there.
All right. Brian Wu under 1.5 walks against the Dodgers. He's a pitcher for the Mariners, and Legesa called him a control freak. He means on the baseball diamond, not necessarily in real life, though he could be. He could be. In real life. We don't know. All right. Angels, big dogs against the Royals. Royals, big favorites. You have a play.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. If you want to laugh, if you know enough baseball players or any of them, he probably just is a control freak. These pitchers are out of their minds. Anyway, yeah, give me the Royals with cheese. Again, another one, man, I wish we had more time. I'd love to get into depth with this, with you, because what we've noticed with the legalization of gambling, right, this kind of ubiquitous availability now, favorites are really getting juiced up, and I think that was to be expected. However, I don't know, maybe where books close the door, they open the window, because run lines are actually coming at a discount. Right? Again, a run is a run, and it has worth, but we can objectively kind of quantify this stuff. I'm surprised to be getting this run. You mentioned the heavy dog. I saw Casey listed at minus 220 on some books, where you can get the run line cover at plus 105 or plus 110. So just that disparity right there, that's pretty much a discount on the line. And again, from an analysis standpoint, this couldn't be any further, you know, of a disparity, really, from a talent-wise standpoint. We're at that point in the season where the bad teams have sold off anything that wasn't nailed down, the Angels being one of those. They've got Carson Fulmer on the bump. He's been really rough, and the expected stats are even worse. He's struggling to find the zone, and if you're going to have to come into the zone, give up that many fly balls and that many barrels, you're going up against a Royals offense that we've seen really kind of take that step forward this year. I mean, Bobby Witt, if it wasn't for Aaron Judge right now, I mean, Bobby Witt is like a legit MVP, and I think he's going to be a perennial MVP candidate going forward. My boy, Italian Breakfast, Vinny P, doing his thing also, but the Royals are just killing right now. They're batting 300 as a squad against righties last 2 weeks. The 840 OPS plus 200 ISO, all the barrels, I think they get to Fulmer, and they have just the edge across the board. This Angels offense right now is just circling the ball. We really need a mercy flush, man. It's very hard to find two-week samples that are this bad. It's the truth, man. It's the truth. You know, on my show, I cover this stuff with a very granular lens every day. You don't see sample sets like this that often. Like, I understand they're small in the grand scheme of things, but this is 300 plate appearances against righties. As a team, the Angels are batting 181. Ooh. They have a sub-600 OPS, a 270 WOBA. You got to understand, even with a 280 expected behind it, that's probably like 3.5 runs per game. You're just, you know, 30% below average. They're just really disgraceful. So I think the Royals just kind of mop them up today. And like I said, I like the price. So if we're on the right side of even money, give me the Royals to cover it.
Mercy flush on the Angels, taking the Royals full game. Run
I like that. That sounds good. That might stick.
Let me ask you this on the way out here, John. And you don't usually, we don't usually talk necessarily longer term with you. We usually do the day to day. But I was, you know, I was looking at the standings, or I was mentioning this earlier, I should say, looking at the standings, and it appears, with the exception of the Atlanta Braves, and again, there's almost a quarter of the season left, so I don't want to go too crazy, right? But right now, when you look at the Major League Baseball playoffs, it looks as though we kind of know the teams are going to be in it. I don't want to go too crazy on that, but let me just ask you if you believe this. Orioles, Yankees, Guardians, Twins, Royals, Astros in the American League. The Mariners are going to have something to say about that. They're on the outside looking in, as are the Red Sox. But again, Orioles, Yankees, Guardians, Twins, Royals, Astros in the American League. National League, Phillies, Brewers, Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, and the Braves holding on to that last spot. Do you believe those are going to be the 12 teams in the postseason?
Okay, I think we got 11 of 12. I actually, one of my futures play, if I could tease it, is I actually think the Twins might catch the Guardians to win that division. You can get that at like plus 300 right now. I think they might be separated by three games. They have a set in Minnesota to go, and Minnesota's added Festa and this kid Matthews. Once people get a whiff of how good this kid Zebby is, I think they usurp them there. But I think the teams are the same given the format. That last one, I'm not about to plant a flag for the Braves just yet. I do think they're good. They also added some arms. Grant Holm looks good, and I don't even think he's in the rotation right now because Morton looks solid. But the Mets, man.
Ugh.
You mentioned it before. Yes, they perpetually disappoint, but all Queens and Mets jokes aside, we have seen when this offense clicks, they were the best offense in the league for a 30-day stretch. At home, away, versus lefties, versus righties, they go absolutely nuts. They're starting to click up again, and I wonder if they catch fire and get it going. I'm just saying, you figure the Mets, the Giants, the Cardinals are all within five of that last spot. Giants, too, man. Snell, pound for pound, one of the best pitchers in the game right now. Heaven knows what's going to happen next year. But I think that last one might still be up for grabs. Other than that, we're pretty much locked in. I don't know. I'm enjoying the races, but it kind of takes some of the flame out of it for me.
Wow. Giants are the proverbial, you don't want to face them in a postseason series team with Snell and Webb. But I don't know if they get there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can get there.
Yeah, Webb doesn't get the credit either. He's more of a, you know what it is in this betting fantasy world we're all in? He's more of a legitimate MLB ace. Like, if you ask me to pick one pitcher that could go eight innings tomorrow, Webb is my guy.
Webb is the guy. It's going to be fascinating. Yep. Again, just a little less than a quarter of the season left. Mark Borchardt and I doing our Beating the Book Q3 Derivatives podcast, where we talk first fives, first innings. We get all into it in all kinds of ways. Umpires, we'll do that right after the show. John Legesa, everybody. John Lagheza. How you spell it phonetically on Twitter. Congratulations on the new gig, man.
Thank you, man. Everyone check out the newsletter. It's free.
John Legesa. Always the instant offense we're looking for. We'll come back. We'll talk NFL wild card markets. Who we think is in, who we think is out, vis-a-vis the betting odds. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Episode 1 of Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million, will make its debut tonight right here on VSiN. Five-part docuseries takes you inside the high-stakes world of the annual Circa Survivor contest. Follow the contestants as they make all-or-nothing picks over the 2023 NFL season and go behind the scenes of the world's largest legal betting contest. Several VSiN hosts make appearances along the way to offer their advice. Watch Circa Survivor, the quest for $9.2 million. Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on VSiN.com and YouTube TV, as well as a live broadcast on X. Go to VSiN.com/Survivor for details. Both Kelly and I have had the opportunity to preview episode number 1. It was awesome. Wishnev is in there as well. He makes a cameo. Everything is better when Todd Wishnev is involved.
I'm curious to see.
Yeah.
What are you most interested in seeing in this docuseries?
Beyond episode 1, since we've already seen it.
I think I have a weird answer to it.
I am most interested, in making sure I don't curse again. That's the first thing. Geely,
what are you running for president one day? Who cares?
Why are you cursing, Geely? And then two, I want to see how much the last stretch of like hedging gets.
Covered. Oh, okay. That mine's kind of that.
Okay.
Mine is mainly how much I know there's some of Sean Perry.
Oh, yes.
How much is Sean Perry involved in this?
The poker player.
Yes, the poker player.
The villain, if you will.
The villain, if you will, yes.
Who, can we share that he said he was going to come on the show with us?
Yeah. Then, I don't care.
And then what did he do? He said, at last, what, the morning of?
It was too early for him or something like that, I believe.
Was it like right before the show? He's like, I'm sorry, it's too early.
Yeah, it was something like that.
It's like, bro, don't tell us you're coming on.
It was something like I was up too late last night. Sorry, it's too early.
He was the guy. Sorry, poker players, but this is very cliche with poker players. They're all the smartest people in the world, right? Am I allowed to slander all poker players in one shot?
Oh, yeah. As a guy who spent many hours at a poker table, go ahead.
He was smarter than everybody. Let him tell it. And the thing about it is, it was life-changing money for some other people, but he made it clear it wasn't for him. And he didn't care about shopping.
He was getting choked up about it.
Yeah,
it's a passion.
Getting emotional.
But I
do think the hedging part of this, though, took over Survivor last year.
Yeah.
In a way. And we've been talking about it. I've been talking about Circa Survivor. I don't know if Derek will remember this. We were talking about it on this show probably a year before everybody else, right? And the year that I got to week 14, the pandemic year. Got to week 14 and the Jets, that's a 17-point dog, beat the Rams outright in week 14. But in all those years, I don't think we've talked about the hedging as much as we did this past year. Not just us, everybody, right? It became a huge thing. And all those guys, like, that became more stressful than the game itself, the contest itself. And so I'm curious how deep they get into that.
I'm also wondering how much, because I do think that there, I would guess a large percentage of people that play in Circus Survivor or play in Circus Survivor or even other Survivor contests.
Yeah.
Do consume a lot of our content because we talk about it, because we talk about our connection to Circus Survivor and Circa. I wonder if that, with all those guys going through that last year, changes anything going forward. Do we see less of these guys connecting near the end of the contest to try to make sure that everybody gets paid out? You know what I mean? Is there less kind of cooperation and communication amongst the leaders near the end of the contest because of that last year, right? Like, there was, that got a little rocky at times. They also worked, you know, figured stuff out. But I'm wondering if with how much coverage there was of that this past year, if that changes at all going forward.
The group that ended up chopping at the end were a bunch of nice guys last year. Yeah, couldn't have been more happy for all of them. But again, did they hedge properly? How much did they really walk away with, you know?
Right.
No, your point is an interesting one.
I don't know the answer. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that at all. I think it probably likely just depends on who the people are in those situations, more so than anything, but
should be fun. Again, episode one tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, VSiN.com, YouTube TV, as well as live broadcast on X. Check it out at VSiN.com/survivor. We get tweets at Beating the Book. B. Miller. Need a new Merrill Hodge segment like I need air. His breakdowns are unmatched. We do have to call up that Merrill Hodge segment. I think we can find it. He was not a fan of Caleb Williams. D-Gen Southern Gen. Gil, I was really hoping you'd be on the Alexander Muller match in Winston-Salem today. I've been waiting all summer to hear Kelly mutter. He wants you to mispronounce. I guess he wants Lestien. It was the guy he wants you to pronounce, and you can sort of imagine what he wants you to mispronounce it as. CPT John Prescott, MD. Oh, I like it when an MD tweets in. He says, any thoughts to the ending of the Jack Draper, Felix Oje-Aliassime match in Cincinnati over the weekend? Did you see this, Kelly?
No, I did not.
Match point, Jack Draper, the Brit, serving to Felix Oje-Aliassime. He serves it. Oje-Aliassime returns it. And Draper, approaching the net, looks to volley it. The ball bounces, I want to get this right, bounces first, then hits his racket, and, now I'm messing it up. The sequence of events was, it bounced, it hit his racket, then sort of double hit his frame, and then went over the net, tipped off the net for a winner. And then, I don't know if I have that sequence right, but basically it was an illegal hit.
I'm guessing in tennis, you can't double hit like that.
No, you can't. But I think what it did is it bounced, hit his frame, and like double hit his frame and then hit the bounce again and went over. It was illegal, no matter what. And as a tennis player, you can feel that. So to answer your question, I think Draper knew it was illegal. I think he was lying that he didn't know.
Wait, so it didn't get called?
The umpire said, it's fine. You win.
And he won? It was the winning point?
It was the winning point. It was match point. That's what match point
is. What?
So Felix Oje-Aliassime, may I just say this? Felix, we'll get Kelly the manual. Felix Oje-Aliassime, he could not have handled it better. 4 minutes it took. But finally, Felix Oje-Aliassime, who was just smiling the whole time because he's like, And he said, he goes, it's not up to you, Jack, even though he knew Jack was lying, right? He's like, it's up to the umpire. And he said, the umpire goes, after 4 minutes, he goes, if you can tell me you are 100% sure that that was a legal hit, then I will stop arguing about it. And the umpire goes, I saw it how I saw it. And Felix Oje-Aliassime, like a true gentleman, he conceded the match, even though he knew he got screwed. There's a lot of players who would have lost their minds.
Yeah, good on him. Because at least you got your point across, right? You got microphones picking you up saying that. You challenged the ref.
He was great.
You challenged the ump. You challenged the ump.
Yeah.
And got it on the record that you were challenging him. And what are you going to do anyways? All we do is see these guys whine and complain. Nothing ever gets overturned.
That was the ump that earlier in Cincinnati, that was the same ump who botched the Taylor Fritz sequence where the ball was clearly out, being hit to Taylor Fritz past the baseline. Fritz sort of stopped because he thought it would get called out. It didn't. So he had to hit it like at the last minute. The point goes on, and at the end, the ump's like, sorry, we got to replay that. And Taylor Fritz is like, wait, he goes, well, you didn't stop playing. He goes, I can't stop playing. You didn't call it. Like, it's a whole thing. So anyway.
I also forgot mid-story.
Tennis had Hawkeye.
It was involving Jack Draper, because I don't know, when you just go and call someone Jack these days, it almost feels like an insult, right? You're like, hey, all right, Jack. But it's like, oh, no, it's actually his name.
That's actually his name, yeah. Chris Hartman, Gil, I had a chance to speak with Dave Ross a couple weeks ago, and he said the Cowboys may be interested in Shedeur Sanders in the upcoming draft. That would reset the Cowboy finances for half a decade.
Okay.
I
guess Dave thinks it's going to be a rough season. Oof.
And then Mike Alvarez.
But by the way, can I hit on that real quick? Talked a little bit about, what was that, with Pete last week about Colorado? They going to be that bad and we're still getting like two top five draft picks off that team?
Yep.
Okay.
Are you trying to say it's coaching? Is that what your conclusion is?
Just bring that up.
You have a wild card bet here? This is the wild card market of...
It did make a bet in this market, actually.
Oh, I like it. Okay, NFC. This is to be a wild card, correct?
Correct,
so
this yes.
Is not to win the division, not to not be in the playoffs, but specifically to be a wild card, which means places 5, 6, or 7, in other words, in each conference. In the NFC, Bears plus 215 is the shortest shot here.
No thanks.
Packers plus 220, no thanks, because they could win the division.
Yep.
Lions plus 225, and you see how this shakes out. This is completely a Seahawks plus 350 bet.
100%. We talked about last week. We thought the Seahawks when we did that little exercise of,
because that's the one division where you think to yourself the Niners are absolutely winning that division, and I think the Seahawks can get a wild card.
I do. I think that there are.
You have to have that guardrail at the top.
Yeah. I will say that I bet this about a quarter of the size of what I bet just Seahawks to make the playoffs. I think there's an outside chance they could win the division. I will say shop around. I saw this market when I was shopping for this over the weekend, Gil, as the number as short as plus 220 on the Seahawks and as long as plus 350.
I like the plus 350.
So a plus 220, though, I'm just betting just bet the plus 200 on them to make the playoffs. I don't know how much money I'd really sink into a plus 220 in this market.
Well, or you bet Mike McDonald to win Coach of the Year, which is what I did.
I'm going
to
bet that, too.
I got 13-1 because I didn't want it to fall any shorter.
Yeah.
I was late because I said I wanted to bet it, and then I lollygagged, and I didn't bet it. So 13-1, I'm not letting it get shorter. Because they fit the Cleve TA guardrails on what can constitute a coach of the year in terms of what your total, your team total is, what your record needs to be, what it has been. So
I think the Cowboys are probably a pretty safe bet here, too.
Plus 250. Yeah. Let's do the AFC, and we'll get Samaj's futures next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at Barcanada, the Barrage, here at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billett. It's a numbers game. Un partido de números, again, for those listening in Spanish. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Mike Alvarez. First off, how dare you, Gil, insinuate that Raiders fans overhype our chances? You don't think we're winning the Super Bowl this year? Have you seen our quarterback's mustache? That's exactly right. Trust the glove. I found the reference to myself as a gentleman to be slightly disrespectful for a fellow degenerate. Call yourself a degenerate. Jason Stark. Welcome to life as a Mets fan, Gil. Whenever you think they'll be good, they suck. Whenever you think they'll suck, they suck.
That was funny.
Let's say that again.
I made the easiest Mets joke on the planet today.
He said once again, whenever you think they'll be good, they suck. Whenever you think they'll suck, they suck. Indiana Jet. Oh, Indiana Jet was one of the survivor winners
last year.
Yeah,
this is a great tweet.
He said, getting the chop finalized was as stressful as the final few weeks. Thankfully, all of my co-champs are just awesome people. That's great, and congratulations again to Indiana Jet, who I would assume get some airtime.
This is the stuff I'm curious about. This is the part I'm definitely most curious about when it comes to the doc.
Paper Mike, imagine if that was Kyrgios instead of FAA. Oh, you're so right. Instead of Ogier Aliassime.
I feel like you dodged a text from me like a week ago. He's on the odds board. Is he playing in the U.S. Open?
I dodged a text from you.
Yeah.
I think he is.
I got all excited. I'm like, Kyrgios in the U.S. Open?
Is he playing?
He's on the odds board.
I don't know what that means.
He's
done a lot of, like, I'm going to play, and then he doesn't play things. So I don't know what his official status is for the U.S.
Nick Kyrgios flip outer. I mean, that's most
3 days ago, he will not play.
It's probably off the odds board now.
He will not play. And then Tailgate Sports, love the to be a wild card team market, especially for the NFC. Do you guys have an odd screen provider that you would recommend to shop futures prices, or do you just do that manually? I do it manually.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I get a lot of those questions. I think there's a lot of different great odd screen sites out there. But for us here in Nevada, we're limited. We have different books that we have to bet on. So, like, I use Don Best because, like, that's basically the best one for, I think, if you're in Nevada. But I think outside of Nevada, there are some much better other options.
Let's bring in Mike Somich, co-host of The Handle, with our buddy Matt Brown. Weekends here at VSiN. You can follow him on Twitter at SomoBomb18. That's SomoBomb18. Not yet. There we go. I know if we waited long enough, we get the old Sama Bomb. All right, let's, Mike, first of all, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. We have bets in multiple sports. We want to start with you with these wild card markets. We'll go back to the previous segment. NFC, both Kelly and I landed on the Seahawks at +350, though I would agree with Kelly, Cowboys at +250, not a bad bet either. But there are other markets that might take precedence over the number you get in this one. But if you were forced to bet one here in the odds to be a NFC wild card seed, again, not winning the division, not missing the playoffs, but getting in that 5-7 pocket, what might be your bet here?
Two teams jump out to me. The Seahawks, I think, definitely make a lot of sense at +350. I was talking about them yesterday on The Handle, playing the alt over 9.5 wins in the regular season. I believe in this Seahawks team. I was a Seahawks believer last year, really not happy with what they did on the offense, and that defense struggled to stop the run again down the stretch. That's going to change with Mike McDonald there on the defensive side. Byron Murphy looking awesome in camp. It looks like they've got a good interior defensive line, something they really struggled with the last couple of years. Love Wooten, love Witherspoon on the outside as well from a secondary perspective. And getting rid of Adams to me is an addition by subtraction. Didn't like him in the secondary either. I think Jackson Smith and Jigba set up to have a big year there as a third wide receiver. So I like the Seahawks quite a bit here at +350. I actually like them to win the division a little bit as well, so I sprinkled on that. I do think the Niners are going to be down a little bit here, specifically if they have any injuries on the offensive line. Very, very light unit there for San Francisco. You've got Trent Williams and nobody else. If he gets hurt or if you start losing those secondary pieces on that offensive line, the backups really struggle. To me, the other one's the Packers, +220. I love the Lions to win the division. The Lions to win the division now +135. So it's getting a little bit shorter than the +150 you were able to get earlier this year. A way to almost bet the Lions to win the division is the Packers to make the playoffs, because the Packers getting a wild card spot at +220, highly likely if the Lions end up winning that division.
Let's go to the AFC. We'll do this one as a trio here. AFC odds to be a wild card seed. Again, always considering that you need the guardrail of a potential division winner. So it's tough that the Bengals and the Ravens are the shortest shots here, but this is tough, right? Because they could easily finish, regardless of what your handicap is. Anyone could concede. You could see it either way, going 1-2, right? Yeah. So it's tough for those two to be the short shots. Maybe some people feel the same way about the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets, which are the next three, followed by the Browns, going back to the AFC North. So this is a tricky one. I actually would go with the Jaguars at +450.
I would not bet anything here. I don't even like anything here. How about that?
Mike?
This is very difficult. I thought you laid it out well there, Gil. The division winner in some of these divisions, much more hard to project, and thus it's harder to project a wild card team. If I was going to take a shot, I would look at the AFC West and say, hey, do two teams get in the AFC West? Because I do like the Chiefs to win that division. We're seeing them as a big favorite. Who runs second there? I hate the Chargers. I am out on the Chargers here. 8.5 win total. I've already played the under. They're a team where I think they're going to be good in a couple years, but we are already seeing injury issues with Herbert. The offensive line, I don't think, is very good. The running back room, not good. The wide receiver room, not very good. If you look at just an overall lineup, overall roster, to me, they're one of the bottom 6 or 7 rosters in the NFL. I get that Harbaugh is great, but first year, I think it's going to be very tough for him. The team I would take isn't even on the board here. What's the number on the Raiders?
Yeah.
What can I get the Raiders to make the playoffs a wild card?
I knew you were going there, Mike. 5-1. 5-1.
It's not nearly as sexy as
not high enough.
Yeah.
You can take the Raiders alt over at 8.5, alt over at 7.5, and get, I believe it's like +360 at the 8.5 number. I would look toward the alt overs for the Raiders versus taking anyone here. But because I don't have as much confidence in division winners in the AFC, I think this is a much tougher market to play.
But I think that's a great point at the end, but it's also a good point what you're saying, which is identify the division of the eight that has the clearest winner, AFC West, right? I think most people would agree. Chiefs stand above the fray in the AFC West. And then you still got to get to the wild card is the thing, right? It's not about finishing second place. So I get what you're saying because you do at least solidify the fact that you're not going to win the division. But you would need higher for
this. Where like I couldn't make a bet in this market because I think I'm one of those people that thinks all the wild cards are coming from the north or the east, and I don't really know if I know for sure who's winning each one of those divisions.
Yeah, and I think they're coming from the north and something else. I think the Jaguars probably.
I would rather. So I'm looking at the division exact order 1-2. Mm-hmm. You can get Chiefs first, Raiders second, plus 370. I'd rather bet that than the Raiders to make the playoffs as a wild card, because then they just have to come in second in the division. If they win eight games, that's totally possible inside that division. So I would take the plus 370 Chiefs first, Raiders second versus Raiders making the playoffs as a wild card.
And that's the thing with all of your convictions, all of your handicapping convictions. That's probably the best pro tip we can give is there are so many markets and inevitably there is an optimal way to play whatever your conviction is. And it might not be like, again, the wild card market might be it. It might very well not be it. There might be a better way to play it. Just sort of rearranged. Mike gives a great example on a 1-2 exacta per division. What other futures do you have that you might not have mentioned on the show before that you're super excited about?
Well, I've been talking up the Lions, how much I like them to win the division. If you're looking at that exact market, the 1-2 in division, right now the Lions first and the Green Bay Packers second is plus 320. The Packers first and the Lions second is plus 425. You can actually get the Lions to win the division at an implied odds of plus 156. If you miss the plus 150, if you simply play, let's say you play $100 at plus 320, and then you play $25 back to cover your 100 on the Packers at plus 425, you end up getting a blended Lions price at plus 156. So if you're not in on the Lions, that's a great way to do it using the exact order. The props that I love, I like this Buffalo team wide receiver set as trying to find ways to create money off of it. The Buffalo Bills lost over 1,800 yards passing last year. They lost over 240 targets. When you lose Diggs and you lose Gabe Davis, where does that go? Well, Dalton Kincaid last year had 91 targets and went for 673 yards. His season-long yard prop is 750.5. So you only need, about a 10% bump up for him to be able to go over 750.5. I think he is the recipient of close to another 30 to 40 targets this season with the losses. I think he flies over that 750.5. And I agree that Keon Coleman is going to have a good year, but I like his touchdown prop more. Instead of taking yardage, you can get over 4.5 touchdowns at plus 100 on Keon Coleman. So two bets for me with the Bills receivers there. Keon Coleman over 4.5 touchdowns plus 100 and Dalton Kincaid over 750.5 receiving yards there. I think both of those are great bets in a market that's not being properly adjusted for the loss of production.
Did you do any awards markets, Mike?
I do, but all the numbers are gone. We talked about Bo Nix, Rookie of the Year last week on this show, 22-1. That got bet down. Now we're sitting at 11-1. I've got a bunch of golf MVP exposure. That's gotten way too low. That was back at 40-1 during the summer. Now we're sitting somewhere in that 14-18-1 range for golf MVP. I wouldn't play it there, but I got involved in the awards markets early because it's usually when you can get the best price before the hype trains start rolling in.
Last winless, did you touch that at all?
Give me the Patriots. Yeah. Their early schedule is absolutely brutal. 5-1 right now, last winless for the Patriots.
Yeah, I tried to back up the Carolina Panthers 15-1 last year with something as sexy, but we landed on the Patriots too. It's like some things are just what they appear to be. Patriots now without Jared Mayo as well on defense. More with Sam Obama on the other side. He's got college football. He's got baseball. That's coming up next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ready for football season to start, Kelly. I'm ready. I'm mixing up I'm mixing up Matthew Judon and Jared Mayo. Ready for the real thing to happen. Let's go.
And Gerard Mayo.
What did I just say? Jared Mayo. Gerard Mayo. And maybe I should just not say Gerard Mayo or Matthew Judon anymore. By the way, 4 days to sushi, everybody. Big sushi announcement on Friday.
That's right.
I rank my top three sushi spots, but really it's not about 3 and 2. It's about 1. Which I'm going to finally give away the sushi spot for years that I've gate kept I've been gatekeeping it on the show for 2 years. Apparently, I only said it once, and then Kelly made a thing of it. So it's all Kelly's fault.
Now, by the way, I'm fully expecting a head fake come Friday, too. Like, it's going to be like, I don't even know what a chain sushi restaurant is, but, like, Gil throws out something
chain
like that.
Sushi. It's Nick it's
like
Sushi.
P.F. Chang's. That's where I like to get my sushi. You're like, do they even do sushi? I don't even know.
P.F. Chang's.
Sushi.
Look deep in the menu. It's a deep dive onto their menu all this time. Yeah. Sexy pick.
I'm starting a riot if you do something like that.
Oh,
I'm gonna bring a soaked torch with me and just light it up.
I got to talk to him first. Like I say, hey, this is coming. We'll see.
Can you please record that phone call?
So I've been doing this thing for 2 years.
They're going to be so confused.
They're going to be like, what? You've kept it from the audience? They'll be mad, and then they'll back off it a little bit. They'll be like, okay, yeah, we'll do it.
I don't know why I'd be mad, man. It's a...
Because it's small.
Yeah, I think that's a great... I feel like that's probably the greatest problem to have if you're a restaurant.
I don't know if they want that. All right, Mike Somich, Samobomb 18, joins us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the co-host of The Handle, which he does weekends here with Matt Brown. Mike, you a big fan of sushi, sashimi, and the like?
I am a huge, huge fan of sushi, and I'm glad you mentioned it, Gil. If you were releasing this to the world on Friday, and you owe me a dinner,
I do.
And I'm going to be in Vegas on Thursday night, you could just tell him in person.
Oh, hey, we could just do the sushi on Thursday. Maybe we should do
that. There we go. And then you could let them know of the incoming rush over the weekend.
Okay. All right.
Wow, that sounds like a great plan.
What time are you getting in, Mike, on Thursday?
Getting in early, like 11 o'clock or so. Getting in early, going to host the Lombardi Line on Friday. So flying in on Thursday, and then I'll be there Saturday, Sunday for The Handle. And we'll just move this up a little bit earlier so I actually can make it instead of being at the airport next Monday for you guys.
There you go.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the effort.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, let's talk college football. You've added a couple college football plays. What do you got?
Yeah, give me Ole Miss over the win total. This is one a lot of people have talked about. I agree with the idea behind it here. If you look at their schedule, really comes down to three games. Their win total sitting at 9.5 right now. I took the over for them to get 10 wins or more. They've got a tough game at home against Georgia. Totally get we're probably going to lose that one. But then you've got at LSU and you're home to Oklahoma. You got to win one of those two games to be able to go over this win total. I don't want to bet Lane Kiffin in big games in the playoffs or when there's extra time to prepare. I do think the talent on this roster is able to get them over the hump here and get to at least 10 wins. I think they have a good shot at 11, to be honest, in winning both the LSU and Oklahoma games. So let's go Ole Miss over that 9.5 win total. And then let's head to the Big Ten here. Let's take an under on the University of Illinois Fighting Illini here. They've got two winnable games early in the season. I will totally give them those two. Their win total sitting at 5.5. They got to find four more wins. They are at least a 7-point dog in eight of their remaining games. And then they have four coin flip games. Essentially, they have to win all four coin flip games to be able to go over the total. The defense isn't very good. They're bringing back a bad quarterback. The offense isn't improved. I don't see how the Illini get to six. So we're going under on Illinois. We're going over on Ole Miss.
I'm just trying to think, just anecdotally, what have been our most consensus season win totals plays in college football this summer? And I'm going to say it's a tie between Texas under, which everybody loves, and the Illini under, which I know has been pretty consistent.
I've heard Texas under more, though. But yeah,
Texas under a little more.
I feel like that's the leader in the clubhouse for me of what I've heard.
What do you think has been – this is actually a good question for the NFL – what has been the most common, oh no, too many people have it, NFL futures play? I'm going to say, sorry about this, Mike, I'm going to say it's Goff to win MVP.
Like, I think I'll say Steelers under the win total.
Steelers under the win total.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right.
Steelers under the win total.
Except I have that, so I think it's right. That's right.
Well, of course, me too.
Steelers under and Goff MVP.
The Goff MVP one I agree on, although I was driving that bus. Matt Brown and I were banging that drum after the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
Like when it got to 40-1, that got ridiculous. And it almost felt like if you are a sharp bettor and you aren't betting 40-1, I've got a question for you. Because when you look at that schedule, specifically the early part of it, it makes no sense. And it got as high as 66-1 at Circa, and then it's been bet all the way back down. I wouldn't say go run to your book at 14-1, right? But at 40-1, I don't understand how you can say that was a mispriced in some way. I'm getting a little concerned about the Cowboys under. because everywhere it's Cowboys under, Cowboys under, Cowboys under. They're imploding. They're imploding. The season's going to be awful. There's still enough talent on that roster, and yeah. I'm on the Cowboys under train, so I'm not overly excited saying this, but that's been the one recently where I have not heard a single person take the Cowboys over. We've seen the division odds shift from them being the favorite to them being the second choice. I agree with all of it, but at the same time, I'm getting a little concerned how much out there it is.
That's a great call, too, because I mean, I've said this about the Eagles also in that division and the Cowboys. Kelly and I were just talking about the Cowboys off air because we had brought them up earlier, which is I'm more down on the Eagles than most are, but even I concede they still could win the division though, right? That doesn't mean that both of those things can be true. And I get your sentiment about the Cowboys too. You're right. There's not a lot of people coming on talking about, oh, this is their year. Yeah. They're going to soar over their season win total. Yeah.
That's why I brought them up for the wild card market, because I like the Eagles. I'm higher on them than you are. I like the Eagles. Mike, I have a feeling like we're going to get the Cowboys stumbling out of the gate a bit, but by the end of the season, it's what you said. We're going to look around and be like, they still got a lot of talent and they're picking up wins because of all of this talent. And I think they could be right there in that wild card race.
I totally didn't. No, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
They should be at least good, right? And like, why, like the 1 year where everyone's like, nah, Cowboys, they're going to stink. This is going to be year they're bad. Why wouldn't they just all of a sudden show up and blow out and not get injured? The defense stays healthy. CD has a huge year. Dak has a huge year. The offensive line stays healthy. And all of a sudden we're staring at the Cowboys winning 14 games. We're just like shaking our head. What the heck happened?
Well, still going to explode in the playoffs no matter how many games they win. I think we all agree on that.
That's
I totally didn't set this up, but haven't we had multiple Royals plays already on this show
today? We've had three.
Well, we've already had two.
Sorry, we've already had two.
And now here comes Mike Somich. I promise I didn't set this up this way. Mike, you like a Royals bet as well today.
I do like the Royals today. Like, Lugo has been one of those pitchers that's been a lightning rod around gambling worlds because he started out so well. He had a 2+ ERA, but the implied numbers were closer to the mid threes.
Yep.
I'm going to back him today here with the Royals, who've been just a much better team at home. They get their home against the Angels today. You got Fulmer on the mound for the Angels. Not very good. Implied his expected ERA over that 4.22 current ERA number. This is one where we have just seen this number run a little bit. And right now at that DraftKings, it's -190 for them to win the game as a money line price. I'm going to go to one of the bets that I think is just wildly mispriced still. They offer DraftKings a will a team bat in the bottom of the ninth. Right now, the Royals -135 to not bat. So no, in the bottom of the ninth, getting over 65 cents off the money line to be able to play them as a no bat in the bottom of the ninth. If you lay a run and a half, you're looking at +118. You're only 40 cents off the 1.5 number. To me, it just doesn't make any sense that it's closer to the 1.5 than it is the money line when you have these type of favorites. I think this market's mispriced. I've talked about it for over a month on this network. This is a great game to go in and take advantage of that. So Royals, do not bat in the bottom of the ninth, -135.
One, it feels like he's been talking about it for longer
than a month.
And two, I'm completely with Mike. Like, how is that price?
Yes. But please tell us where this is available.
Just DraftKings.
That's
I have not found it on any other sports book. And it's not like easy to find on DraftKings either. It's one of the reasons I think it probably doesn't take a very big handle. I assume they have an algorithm that prices this. So you take, you know, the size of the favorite and you take the size of whatever the -1.5 is and you find somewhere in the middle, but they're skewing it more toward the -1.5. And I vehemently disagree with it. It should be skewed toward the -1.5. It should be skewed toward the money line, especially as the favorites get bigger. It should match the money line closer than the -1.5. And it's the opposite. As the favorite gets bigger, you get a bigger discount off of that money line. So one of those markets where I think it's mispriced. You got to go into a specific game, go to the game props, scroll about 75% of the way down, and there's one line that you can find it on. So it's buried in there, but if you do the digging, you can get a great number.
I thought Mike was going to say it's under cycling. It's under Tour de France 2025, and there you will see.
It is absurd. Like Mike, -135, we're talking about the bet. -238 on the money line.
That's crazy.
All we're talking about is this is a basically win in regulation.
Mike, I really wish you had brought this up before. It's the first time I've ever heard of it.
Win in regulation before the game.
Oh, last one, Mike, before we go. What else you got here?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. You're going to lay the half run in the first five. Taj Bradley on the hill for Tampa Bay. And I was surprised at this number until I dug into analytics. Boyle on the mound for Oakland. has over a 2.76 expected ERA to the positive. However, it's still over five. So we're still going to fade him, even though analytics say he's going to pitch better. Rays minus a half, first five, plus 110.
What's worse, that I said Jared May or that he said Tampa Bay Devil Rays?
I love the old name. I love the old name.
Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
Mike Somich at SomoBomb1818 on the old Twitter machine. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.